you're welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down. Let our shout be your anthem. For you. Let your word move in power. Let what's dead come to life. We are here for you. We are here for you. Our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one. You alone are holy, only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, we welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, we welcome in this place. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, we welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love. Welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, we welcome in this place. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, we welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, we welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, we welcome in this place. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, we welcome in this place.
Jesus. All right.
There is nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I have tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. My heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. The glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence.
Probably know it. And it's so hard to think that a God who created the stars and they obey him and the, I was in on vacation last week with some friends and it was nice, I have to say. It never amazes me though when I'm standing on the ocean and the waves are just, you know, they just keep coming and his creation, how small I am in the grand scheme of everything, but how big I am in his eyes, right. And how important I am in his eyes. Right. And I'll never understand it, how an all-powerful God who has done no wrong, who took beatings and all those things for us, still loves us and still would, like this, it says, he is jealous for me. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to me that there is nothing that I can do. Just like my children, and that's the, I always say this, that's the thing that I can compare most with how I can only view the love of God is my kids. I love them. I love you guys, but they drive me crazy sometimes, and they make mistakes, and I have made mistakes with my mother and all those sort of things, but I do. That is the most unconditional love that I can say I have, and God just loves that much more, and it amazes me that he has that much love for us.
He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us, how he loves us so. He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. He loves us. Oh.
Like the old song says, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Can we just applaud the Lord for His goodness? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to take some of these, Lord, in prayer. Two prayer request cards that are here upon the podium. I believe it's a, Marlis Jackson. Did I get that correct? Salvation, healing. And then for the Randy, is it Donka family? For a comfort. I know there's other needs represented in the house. If you have a need, why don't you just slip up your hand? The Lord's able to meet and supply all our needs. The Bible says, according to His riches and glory. And we come in faith, believing and understanding that He's able. He's able. Lord Jesus, we love You. God, we thank You. We honor You, God, for Your goodness. Lord, we thank You for another opportunity to be here in Your house, to lift our hands, to lift our voices in praise unto You, Lord, for these families, God, that are in so need of Your touch, Your help, whether it be comfort or healing, salvation. God, we know that we can come to You with every need, every care and concern of life, God, that You are able, God. You desire, God, to give good gifts unto Your children, Lord, and You desire to make Yourself manifest in the midst of these situations, to show that You are there, to show that You will help, that You will strengthen, You will upgird. Lord, we love You, Jesus. We honor You. We praise You. We thank You for Your goodness, God. How wonderful it is to know You and to serve You, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you applaud the Lord for His goodness this morning? Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. While you're standing, grabbing your Bibles, do want to remind you tonight, 6 o'clock, split sessions, general session here in the auditorium, children downstairs, those wanting to go further in leadership and ministry, upstairs in the youth room. So we encourage you to come be a part of those split sessions, an encouraging time together to strengthen one another and lift one another up. Yes, 5 o'clock, if you are desirous of helping, and we encourage you to do so in the children's revival that is happening the weekend of March 16th, 17th, please come at 5 o'clock. Sister Robin, Sister Connie need to know who they can depend upon, what volunteers they can have to help. And so as your pastor, I'm asking you to come and make yourself available to any and all that we can make this a great weekend for our kids. We will be taking a Saturday night and a Sunday morning and dedicating those two services, those two times for children's ministry. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that tonight. It's kind of introducing what all is happening and getting your participation. And that is at 5 o'clock. You have your Bibles, and you'd be so kind, why don't you open them with me to Hebrews chapter number 11. Thank you, Brother Kellum, for a wonderful word this morning. He, unbeknownst to him, he referenced a verse of Scripture, which is the verse that I will read for text in your hearing, and then we will, from this passage, extrapolate, if you will, a title and talk to you upon this subject. I don't often do this, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to preach on before I even read this scripture. I want to talk about an amazing journey. An amazing journey. Whether you're new to this, whether you've been serving God for years, whether you're an elder and it's been all that you can remember, this serving God, this walking the walk of faith, is an amazing journey. Does it have its pitfalls? Does it have its rough places? Does it have its mountains, its valleys, its hills? Yes. Does it reveal unto me my humanity, my flesh? Does it show me not only the paths of righteousness, but the paths of unrighteousness? Yes. But it is an amazing journey. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
This man Enoch. You know, the man we find recorded in the Bible that this happened to where they were translated was the great prophet Elijah. He was taken up in a whirlwind, fiery chariot. As Elisha, his protege, looked on. But here in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 5, we find this man by the name of Enoch. The Bible says he was translated that he should not see death. On. He was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. In the verse of scripture that Elder Kellum referenced earlier, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is an amazing journey. Lord Jesus, we love you. And I'm so thankful for another opportunity to stand in front of these precious people and preach your wonderful word. Lord, I pray that every ear, every heart would be open to be receptive to your word. Lord, that we would realize that this journey that we are all on, God, this walk of faith, this putting one footstep in front of the other as we come to you, God, as we understand you as a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. We honor you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. Why don't you clap your hands as you're seated. We know very little of this man named Enoch. In fact, there are only 11 verses in the King James Bible that name him specifically. We do, however, have a few details. Most of what we know about this man named Enoch is found in Genesis chapter 5. We find therein that this man Enoch was the seventh from Adam. He fathered a man by the name of Methuselah. He did so at the age of 65. And then the Bible tells us that for another 300 years, Enoch lived upon the earth. For a total earthly existence of 365 years. I made this statement before. I believe it bears repeating. It's amazing how that this man named Enoch, who was translated that he should not see death, he lived 1 year for every day of our calendar. 365 years, the Bible says, this man named Enoch lived upon the earth. The Bible also says this, something special about this man named Enoch. The Bible says he did not see death. That he was, the Bible said, and just three times in verse number 5, the Bible uses the phrase translated or translation. He was translated, the Bible said, that he should not see death, for God took him. Some years ago, and I probably preached it here, and if you stay around long enough, you'll probably hear it again. I preached a message. The Bible tells us that Enoch was not, for God took him. And I preached a message entitled, I Just Want to Be a Was Not. But Enoch was special. He did not see death. He was translated. He was removed from an earthly existence right into an eternal existence. We don't really know all the details. We don't understand all the reasons why, if you will. But the Bible tells us that at the end of Enoch's journey and existence upon this earth, it reads, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God Hebrews chapter 11, where we read, gives us the reason. We may not understand what all it means in him being translated, but the writer of Hebrews, where we read, gives us the reason for why the translation took place. He tells us why this man Enoch did not see death, how this man Enoch was translated. For the writer of Hebrews tells us, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch's pleasing walk with God happened. We need to understand this. It happened in the midst of a very wicked world. For in just three future generations, Enoch's great-grandson, a man by the name of Noah, would build an ark to save his family while the world was destroyed by water for its great wickedness. So the understanding is, when Enoch walked with God, not everybody else was doing it. When Enoch walked with God, it was in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. It was in the midst of a wicked world that Enoch had this amazing journey. For 365 years, this man named Enoch walked this walk. He had this amazing journey and this pleasing walk with God that was juxtaposed with a wicked world. He was translated. Maybe you're saying, that's all well and good, Pastor, but what does this have to do with me? What does the story and the amazing journey of this man named Enoch, what does it have to do with me? How does it apply to my life? How can I parallel what I am doing and how I am living in today's world? Well, first thing we should note is that we too are living in an increasingly wicked world. While we gather together of a body of believers and we understand the unity that we have amongst the brethren, that when we walk outside of these walls and we go out into the world, not everybody else is doing it. We go to job sites and we interact in social circles, and maybe even some of us, when we get amongst our family, we realize we are the minority. We are like Enoch, endeavoring to walk a walk that is pleasing unto God, but it is juxtaposed. It is in contrast with, it is in a glaring reality of the difference between my walk and their walk. I'm not saying that to be demeaning. I'm not saying that to place myself on a pedestal. I'm saying that to place myself in a similar predicament, if you will, with that of a man named Enoch. That I am endeavoring to walk, and I am endeavoring to live a life that is pleasing unto God, and I am endeavoring to do so in the midst of a wicked world. I'm wanting to serve Him. I'm wanting to do the things that are pleasing unto Him. Might I also say, and I'm not trying to be prophetic, but it could be that judgment will again come within three generations. I don't know. I don't know where the cup of iniquity is before it's so full that God says, I've had enough and I'm done. He commands the angel to reach forth the sickle and draw from the earth. I don't know. But it could be that maybe my great-grandson, could be, that he will see the judgment of the Lord as it comes upon the earth. I don't know. But I do know this, regardless of how wicked this world becomes, I want my testimony to be that I please God. When I stand before Him, I so want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou unto the joy of the Lord. I want it to be said. I don't care what you say about me. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care what my family said. Please understand, there is no one's opinion I value more when it comes to my life and my existence than my Heavenly Father. And I want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When I look upon His face, I want to see pride in me and my existence. I want Him to say, well done, you have pleased me. See, I have begun an amazing journey. And it is in contrast with the wicked world. And I desire to be, whether still living upon the earth or in the grave, I desire to be translated. To forever be with the Lord. That's what I'm living for. That's what I'm striving for. That's what's in the depth of my heart. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean I'm without failure and mistakes. What it means is that I'm striving to live a life that is pleasing unto Him. I am endeavoring with everything that is within me to do what God would have me to do. To be a good and faithful servant. And in this amazing journey, I need to understand, as you alluded to earlier, Elder Kellum, that what brought me to God will keep me walking with God. And one day will cause me to be translated to forever be with Him. This amazing journey, however long it takes, however long the path is, whatever mountains I may have to climb, whatever valleys I may have to walk through, I want to be translated to be with Him. I want to make heaven my eternal home. And I believe I am standing among a body of believers. I believe that I am preaching to a crowd who has this similar desire, who says, "Yes, sir, I am with you. I want to make heaven my home." But I need to recognize that this amazing journey, this path of life, this that God has placed me in, is an amazing journey. The first thing I need to recognize, yet in this walk with God, the footsteps are those of faith. In reality, at a very base nature, if you will, faith is the fundamental element of any belief system. You have to believe. I understand that there are many nations of the world and people of the world who do not ascribe to the same belief system that we do. But to understand that at the core of what they do believe is faith. Is to believe. Is to trust in something beyond themselves. Let me just say this. According to my Bible, an atheist is worse than a devil. Because the Bible says the devils believe that there is one God and tremble. So even the devils believe. Y'all don't believe me. It's there. It's in the Bible. Even the devils believe. Even the devils have a measure of faith. For you and I, we need to understand as we look back over the life of this man named Enoch that this man had footsteps of faith. The footsteps of Enoch's journey, somehow, some way, even in the midst of a wicked world, they subsisted in faith. He believed God. Even when the world around him was wicked, he believed God. And the Bible says that before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He was pleasing to God. What he did and how he lived, God found pleasure in this life, this amazing journey of this man named Enoch. And the Bible also tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So evidently, this man named Enoch had a lot of faith because he was so pleasing to God that God took him. God said, "I'm just going to remove you right out of that." He's translated. All of a sudden, he was here today and then gone tomorrow. He didn't show up for the family gatherings. He sent out a search party. No, nothing. You know, it's gone. They're like, he just vanished. He did. He was translated that he should not see death. And so as I begin to look at his life, and I know we don't know much about him according to the Word of God. Like I said, there's just 11 verses that even specifically mention him. What I do know is that evidently Enoch was a man of faith. And even Paul tells us in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Romans 4 tells us that those who walk in the steps of faith would be heirs of the promises of Abraham. That chapter tells us that faith, if you will, equals being pleasing unto God. If we believe, then we are pleasing. We are walking in a way that is pleasing unto God. The Bible tells us, for without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see, faith is what starts us on the journey. Faith is what has us taking that first step. Faith is what brought us in the doors this morning. Faith is what has us sitting here right now. We believe. And that same faith which started us on the journey is the same faith that's going to keep us in the journey. And that same faith will one day, at one point, be the culmination of our journey. And right now, we walk. And I've always thought of it this way, maybe you have too, for he that cometh to God, and we think of that as being like some place where we finally come to God, or we come to a decision, or we come to a crossroads. And I'm not against that understanding, and I'm not here to try to change your concept of that, but what I believe is that concept is deeper. That concept is not a calling to a particular place or to a particular moment or to a particular conversion experience. That calling is as if you are calling us to come toward. For he that cometh, we could say it this way, for he that cometh toward God. Because God, no matter what I come to in revelation and understanding in my walk and relationship with Him, the moment I come to revelation and understanding, I realize there's more revelation and there's more understanding. I'm ever growing. It's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. It's here a little. It's there a little. It's I learned a little bit yesterday, and I learned a little bit more tomorrow. And faith has me believing I'm going to learn some more the next day and the next day. So as I grow in my walk and relationship with God, I am being called toward Him. It's not to a particular place. No man has seen God at any time. It's not a particular understanding. It's not even a particular revelation. It is a continual calling. Come on up a little higher. Come on up. And as we walk and as we grow and as we mature, we realize there's more maturity necessary. But here's the thing, don't let that discourage you. Don't let that be daunting to you. Let that be something that says, hey, there's more for me to understand. There's more for me to explore. There's more goodness. There's more mercy. There's more grace. Should have us understanding that this is an amazing journey. The steps that I'm taking in faith are going to lead me further and further. And He's just going to keep calling. For he that cometh to God, hey, come on. Have you never noticed in prayer times and in those experiences and those encounters with God, it's as if you recognize in that moment that, yes, this is wonderful and this is awesome, but there's more. There's another level. There's another opportunity. That's why we keep coming. Think about it. If it was just about repenting and being baptized and filled with the Spirit, and that was all we needed to do, and oh, wow, that's good. It's not, because we recognize that that's the start, if you will. That's the faith for salvation, but there's so much more that He has to offer to us. There's so much more in our walk and relationship with Him. This is what I think. I think that as we believe in God, it makes God a bigger reality. See, the God, in my mind and in my conception, understand this, the God that I serve today is much bigger than the God I served 20 years ago. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is all in all. But in my mind and in my concept of God, He's become bigger. I recognize my need for Him more now than I did when I first came to Him for salvation. Think about it. So as I'm walking in relationship with God and I'm endeavoring to be pleasing unto Him, I find His principles and His precepts in the Word of God, and I realize, wait, there's more I can do. There's more. He's calling me higher. He's saying, come on, there's more for you. And the more I explore and the more I search, the more I realize there's more. It's never ending. Oh, how unsearchable are His ways. What the Apostle Paul is saying, he's not saying, hey, give up. You can't find them. What he's saying is that the more you find, the more you find there is to find. Did you get that? It's an amazing journey. Don't let the enemy convince you. Don't let the enemy tell you that it's all drudgery, that it's all rules and regulations. Oh, no, 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 my friend. You know, you need to understand, he that cometh to God must believe that He is. He's what? He's whatever I need. As I've grown in my walking relationship, I realize He is whatever I need. At the very beginning when He spoke to Mo from that burning bush and said, hey, Moses, I want you to go and deliver the children of Israel. They've been captive for 400 years and now it's time. And Moses says, well, they're not going to believe me. Who should I tell them has sent me? And this is what the Lord said. Tell them, I am that I am has sent me. Huh? I am that I am. You are what? I am whatever you need. How are we gonna wander in the wilderness? How are we gonna know which way to go? I'm the way. I am the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The understanding is this: he that cometh to God must believe that He is. He's what? Whatever you need. He is healing. He is restoration. He is provision. He is protection. He is deliverance. He is absolutely whatever you need. And the more you walk with Him, and the more you realize this, the more you recognize your need for Him. That I need Him. This amazing journey will have us as we walk and as we mature and as we grow in faith, will have us believing that He truly is whatever we need. He's my consolation. He's my comfort. He's my help. Put my trust in Him. In all my ways, I'm learning to acknowledge Him. Not just some of my ways, not just on Sunday and Wednesday. All my ways, I'm coming to acknowledge Him. I understand I need Him like the very breath that my body needs to live. My spirit needs the breath of God to live. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee every, we say hour, but it should be every second. I need Thee. I need Him. Because He is whatever I need. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder. Listen, you truly got to wrap your brain around the reality that God is not a taker. He's a giver. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Our God is a giver. You see, people of the world don't understand this reality. They see the church as an institution that takes. Some places just want your money. Just want your time. Oh, that is so far from the truth. When we truly recognize the purpose of the church, when we truly recognize of a walking relationship with God, it's not to take the fun out of my life. A few more people would amen. If you need some more convincing. No, it's to show me paths of right. It's in His presence there is fullness of joy. To truly be happy. The Bible tells us, look, Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If ye, look, Luke 11:13, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Listen, the power of the Holy Ghost, the presence of Almighty God, it's wonderful. It's awesome. It's amazing. But it's not all there is. There's peace. There's love. There's joy. There's gentleness. There's kindness. There's meekness. There's long-suffering. There's goodness. And yes, there's more faith. Guess what? And as I walk this walk with God, as I continue to walk this amazing journey, I find more and more rewards. As we think a lot of times in this life and in the temporal sense, we think of temporal rewards. We think of money, we think of prestige or power. But those things are so shallow in relation to what God gives. Those things don't even scratch the surface of what God provides for you and I. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Whoever Pharaoh was during the time of Moses, we don't even know for sure. Speculation, yes. Guess what? We're still today talking about this man named Moses. A man who the Bible says, listen, think about it. What would make Moses leave Egypt to forsake the place of a prince in the most powerful nation in the world at that time? We say, well, because he killed an Egyptian guard and he fled for his life. The Bible specifically says he did not fear the wrath of the king. Look at, the Bible specifically says, if you think Moses went off into the wilderness because he was scared for his life, the Bible says he feared not the wrath of the king. What would cause Moses? What would make Moses, prince of Egypt, forsake all of that, forsake all those pleasures, forsake all that quote-unquote goodness that was available to him? What would cause him to do that? You don't have to look very far. Matter of fact, you don't have to question it because the Bible gives us the answer. In that same chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be the son, called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had great respect unto the recompense of the reward. What made Moses make his way out into a Midian desert and for the next 40 years of his life kick around a bunch of sheep? Somewhere along the line, Moses found this little thing called faith. Somewhere in his amazing journey, somewhere in this life that if you read and you study will astound you of what this man did and how he was used by God. But it didn't even start. The main part that we read about didn't even start until he was some 80 years of age. But this man named Moses had an amazing journey. You see, faith says the eternal reward of the righteous exceeds any temporal reward for the wicked. Faith says it's an amazing journey. This path that, although imperfect, will please God. I just keep believing. Really serving God is not, we make it a lot more complicated than what it should be. It's just acting upon faith. It's just believing. It's just putting one footstep in front of the other. It's just, you just keep showing up. And you just keep participating, and you just keep seeking, and you just keep searching, and you just keep wondering, and you just keep becoming more and more amazed as you walk this walk of faith with God. Do you trip up? Oh, yes, you do. Do you fall on your face? Oh, yes, you do. But you get back up, and you keep putting one foot in front of the other, and you keep saying, I am a believer. I believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So I'm going to be there next Sunday, and I'm going to be there next Sunday, and I'm going to open the Word today. And I'm going to open the Word tomorrow, and I'm going to keep seeking. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. This is an amazing journey. All along the way, I find the rewards of righteousness. I hope you don't take offense to me talking about my kids a lot. See, some of the rewards that I see a lot of times are in my kids. Without any provocation, without any even insinuation from me, I find Austin with his bread reading chart and the days checked off because he on his own has decided he wants to read the Word of God. That's a reward. It's showing me parts of this amazing journey. My daughter who's determined to get involved in Bible quizzing, and I was astounded as we went to a quiz meet yesterday at all the people that were involved, and it was a place that was crowded and packed with kids and young people who are studying the Word of God and committing the Word of God to memory. I'm a realist. I realize some of them will fall by the wayside. I realize some of them won't stick it out. I get it. The verse they know today, the verse they didn't know yesterday. It's another step. They have an amazing journey ahead of them. Some of them fall, well, some of them fail. Yes! Just keep believing. Don't lose faith at some point in time. I believe it'll bring them back around. I believe at some point in time, even the prodigal son will come to himself in the midst of the hog pen and will realize, oh, there's bread to spare at Father's house. I believe that Father still treats the servants better than I'm being treated right here in this wicked world. So I'll get up and I'll go to my Father because I believe. It's an amazing journey. Whether you've just started out or whether you've been walking it for a while, it gets sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. It's an amazing journey. Just keep believing. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I can tell you all day long that He is whatever you need, but you know the only way you're truly going to know is if you start exploring for yourself. I can try to convince you from this pulpit. I can try to give you all the reasons why. I can try to take you to Scripture and verse, but the journey really depends upon the steps you will take. I cannot walk for you, and you cannot walk for me. It is your own individual walk and relationship with God. It is your journey. But I'm here to help. I'm here I try to convince you to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Keep striving. Keep pressing toward the mark. Keep believing. And when you get to this place and you recognize, wow, this is awesome, this is great, there's a reward here, know that there's a reward over there. So just keep searching. Just keep going. Just keep walking. It's an amazing journey. These altars are open. Whether it's your first time or whether you've been to the altar many times, I encourage you. Just keep coming. Just keep believing. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. It's an amazing journey. The rewards of the righteous will far exceed your wildest imaginations. You may not understand how it's all happening, but understand that it is, that He is a God who rewards those who walk by faith. So just keep walking. Just keep believing. Just keep striving. Just keep coming. It's an amazing journey.
The more I seek You, the more I find You. The more I find You.
Seek diligently. Study to show thyself approved unto God. There is nothing more rewarding than to search after God. There is nothing that will offer you more success in life than to find yourself searching the Spirit of God.
The more I find You,
keep looking. Keep walking.
The more I love You, I want to sit at Your feet, drink from the cup in Your hand, lay back against You and breathe, fill Your heartbeat.
Come all that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give You rest.
So
lay Your yoke upon Me and learn of Me.
I melt in Your peace.
He's here.
So overwhelm me.
I know. Sometimes we see it, we don't wonder.
The more I see.
Sometimes we're fearful. What will happen? How will my family receive me? Will my friends reject me? The enemy wants to bring all those questions. He wants to confuse you because he doesn't want you to keep on the path that searches and that seeks.
The more I love You,
just keep walking. Just keep stepping.
I want to sit at Your feet, drink from the cup in Your hand, lay back against You. Your heart beats. This love is so deep.
Even if everybody else walks away, I'm still walking towards You. I'm still listening to Your voice. I'm still coming. I still believe You're a rewarder of them that diligently seek You. I still believe this is an amazing journey. As I look back over my life, I'm astounded. I stand in awe of God.
I hear the voice. It's the voice of the One I love. He's calling my name. I hear the voice.
He's calling.
The voice of the One I love.
Walk with Me a while. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You'll find.
He's saying, come up higher and hear the angels sing. Come up higher, not a lover.
If
thank you, God, for this amazing journey. Lord, help me to continue to walk the walk of faith, God.
Leave this world behind. You'll find me to be beautiful.
Let my testimony be that of Enoch. And I please God. And I walk with faith in the midst of a wicked world. And I turned aside from unrighteousness and I was led by you in paths of righteousness.
I am running after you. Here with you I find my life. And I am running after
you. Lord, we thank you for this amazing journey. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the mountains and thank you for the valleys, Lord. I thank you for the rough ways and the smooth ways, Lord. I thank you for the lessons that I've learned.
Running after you.
I thank you even for the mistakes that have caused me to stop. Realize where I mess up.
You've become my soul's delight.
Lord, we're thankful for your word. Lord, I'm so grateful for this amazing journey. I'm thankful that you don't give up on me. That when I fall, you don't forsake me. When I mess up, you don't just leave me there in my mess. You call me, say, hey, come on, get up, walk with me some more. Teach me your ways, oh God. Lead me in paths of righteousness. Show me. I admit, often I'm scared of my humanity. I doubt. Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to believe, God. This path that is laid out before me, this path of righteousness, this walking with you. Really the only way to go. That you're a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. May find it. Listen, just take baby steps. If you're new, take baby steps. Don't try to take off running all at once. Just take a little step here, a little step there. Just keep walking. Yeah. How many babies take off the first time? They don't. They stumble. They fall. We get put back up and we walk again. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Father. Let me put my hand in your hand. Give me stability, Lord. Help me to walk. Before long, you'll be there. I'll recognize that I've learned to walk with you. Sometimes it's scary to let go. I'm afraid I'm going to stumble, Pastor. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to walk this thing. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to do it. I recognize that. But I challenge you, let go. There's such a freedom in finding that you can walk with God. His grace is there to cover my mistakes, and His love will lead me on into greater truths, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering being made conformable unto His death.
Jesus, He took my place in divine exchange. Hallelujah, grace is mine. Now I will live by faith for the one who
and so many times I've had to listen to that voice in prayer saying, come on, Nate. You can do it. Take another step.
Jesus, he took my
in honesty, my humanity has cried out, but Daddy, I'm scared. He says, I know, just trust me. Just trust me, just keep walking. You'll find I'm a rewarder of them that diligently seek me.
He gave all to give me life. I lay down all lesser things for greater gain. He is alive.
Thank you, Jesus.
For greater gain, He is alive inside of me. I lay down all lesser things for greater gain. He is
waning moments of this service, why don't you reach out in your own way? Maybe it's stretch your hands toward heaven a little higher. Maybe it's just lift your voice a little higher than you have before. Help me on this amazing journey. I want to be pleasing unto you. I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Help me to walk by faith and not by sight, to just believe, to place my hand in yours and say, lead me on. Help me stand. Hallelujah. Oh, why don't you applaud the Lord for His goodness? We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for this time together, God. We thank you for this amazing journey. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.